They came from the east, though nobody can say exactly where. They stir up Herod and Jerusalem with their questions. They follow a star to Bethlehem, and they offer gifts to an infant king. And then they disappear just as mysteriously as they came. They are the Magi, the wise men who were led by the Lord to the cradle of a king. There are so many things that we assume we know about them that we don't really know. For instance, we call them kings. The Bible calls them wise men. We assume there were three of them, though the Bible never really gives us a number. We usually portray them as being present at the birth of Christ, but their visit probably came sometime later. But this we do know. They came to Jesus bearing three precious gifts. They worshiped him, and they knew they'd had an encounter with the Savior of the world. And with their gifts, they taught us how we can experience the presence of Christ as well. You see, each gift identifies for you and me one of the qualities that we have to demonstrate if we're going to serve the Lord the way we're called to serve the Lord, if we're going to know him and follow him the way he deserves to be known and followed. So this morning, I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about the gifts that came to Jesus from the wise men who visited him when he was born. Because each one of them signifies a very special quality that you need to demonstrate in your own life. For instance, with gold, they honored Jesus as king. Gold was the most precious of the gifts that were laid at the feet of Jesus. For all time, gold has been recognized for its value and its beauty and its preciousness. There's never been a time, there's never been a culture when gold was not recognized as one of those things most precious that people would do anything to acquire and gave it away as something very precious. Only a gift of gold was fit for the king, and that's what those wise men came looking for. If you remember that, they came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" They thought they were exactly where they ought to be. After all, if you're looking for the new king, where do you look? You look in the capital. You go to the palace, you search out those in power, and you say, "Where's the new king?" The truth is, when those wise men entered Jerusalem, they were probably a little bit puzzled as they arrived. They had followed a star. They had heard the prophecy. They had been told to go and look for a king. And they probably assumed, when we enter Jerusalem, the whole town's going to be buzzing with excitement. People are going to be thrilled at the birth of a new king. Can you imagine this? They were there when the one who was going to rule the nation was born. And they entered Jerusalem and everything was quiet. Nothing was stirring. Life went on as normal until they began to ask about that king. And then they set a beehive into motion. As Herod and those around him tried to find this one who was going to be a threat to his own rule and his own reign and his own family. And then there was excitement in Jerusalem. They didn't mean to start it, but they thought, this is where you look for a king. Nobody thought you find a ruler in a little town like Bethlehem. But they continued on their way. They consulted those who might know, and they followed a star. And here's where you give great credit to those wise men. And nothing fazed them when they arrived in Bethlehem. Can you imagine that? Bethlehem was that town on a two-lane road, a traffic light at each end, and nothing much in between. They looked around themselves and they saw nothing but rustic people going about their normal lives, and yet somehow nothing fazed them. They understood, we've been sent here because this is where the king has been born. And they found their way to Jesus and they offered him that gift of gold, that gift they brought to the baby king. And by offering that gift of gold, the wise men proved they could see with the eyes of their heart. They could see beyond the setting in which they found themselves. They looked beyond the obvious simplicity of a young carpenter and his wife. They ignored the aroma of the animals and the hay. They didn't notice the blankets of swaddling clothes or that the baby was in a manger. Instead, they looked with their hearts and they saw the king. Not just a king. They saw the king. They saw in Christ the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy some 700 years before. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So I guess my question to you this morning is, what do you see when you look with the eyes of your heart this Christmas? Our temptation is always to remain with the baby in a manger. We love to think about little Jesus born shiny and new. We wonder at the beauty. We marvel at his birth. But too many times we leave him in the manger. Too many times Christmas comes to an end and we take our nativity set that we've got out somewhere at house, and as we put away baby Jesus, the truth is we put away the wonder of it all for another year. Look closer. Do you see? There's the gleam of a golden crown. He is the King. Not only was Jesus born to be King of the Jews, Colossians 1 reminds us that he was the firstborn over all creation so that he could have authority over everything, all of heaven and all of the earth. When we look at Jesus, the one who came to be born in Bethlehem, we recognize that this is the King. And you should never let the wonder of that escape your imagination, that we serve the King. Yes, the King born in Bethlehem. Yes, the King of the Jews. Yes, the one who came to be the King of his nation Israel. But more than that, the King over all of creation. The one who rules and reigns. The one before whose throne we someday will kneel and cast our crowns. He is the King. Let the gold remind you to come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. But that's not the only gift. The Bible also tells us that with frankincense, they worshiped him as Lord. Frankincense was a unique substance, and it had a very special use. It was a hardened resin of a particular rare balsam tree found in the Middle East. And once that rosin had been collected, then it was ground into a powder and used to create an incense, which was to be burned in only one place. It was used in temple sacrifice, offered in Jerusalem. Frankincense was a gift you brought to the Lord. It was something you offered to him, and when it was burned, the aroma of that frankincense was to be a pleasing aroma in the nostrils of the Lord you loved and worshiped. It was considered pleasing to God. By bringing a gift of frankincense, the Magi were offering the gift of worship. They were saying, "We come to see you as King, but we also come to worship you as Lord." They were quite literally honoring the baby of Bethlehem as the Lord of heaven. Their faith told them they were looking at God Almighty in human flesh. Jesus was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And as they knelt before Christ, they offered him his prayers, and they saw him with the eyes of faith. This has been a challenging year for us all in so many ways. We have endured things we never expected. We have seen events take place that were unimaginable. It's been a difficult time for us to go through diseases that have affected us, not only individually, those who have been affected, but also an entire culture and an entire world. It's been a challenging time. And it would be easy to look around ourselves with eyes of fear, hesitation, confusion. But instead, we see the Lord with eyes of faith, and we recognize that while everything around us is changing, and while there are things that have happened in our lives that we could not have anticipated, one thing never changes, and that is that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. This Christmas, we see Him with the eyes of faith. We believe God loved us and sent His Son. We believe Jesus was willing to put down the glories of heaven to take on human flesh. And we remind ourselves anew, He is Emmanuel, God with us. Not just at Christmas, God with us all the time, in every circumstance. Come to the manger with eyes of faith and worship Him as Lord. They came to honor the King. They came to worship the Lord. And with myrrh, they trusted Him as Savior. Myrrh was also a perfume with a specific purpose. Myrrh was used by the Jewish people to prepare a body for burial. It was one of the fragrances that you would detect anytime you found yourself at the burial place of someone who had passed away. And while its aroma was sweet, it was an odor that reeked of death. And those who were present when the wise men came must have wondered when this gift was presented. They had seen the gold as it was presented to the baby, and they thought, what a wonderful gift gold is. And they had seen the frankincense that had been presented and watched their worship in awe. And then the third gift was opened, and there it was, myrrh. It was an incredibly inappropriate gift. Can you imagine today if someone said, there's a new baby and we need to go and visit it, and you showed up and you showed up with something that just was a demonstration of death? And yet that's what they did. And the myrrh intruded with that aroma all throughout the place. How could the wise men have given such a tasteless gift unless they understood from the beginning Jesus was born to die? He didn't come to be the baby in a manger. He came to be the Savior of the world. And this perfect child would grow up to be God's perfect sacrifice for our sins. This is what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53. He said, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. You do not understand the gift of myrrh unless you understand that Jesus was born in a cradle that was in the shadow of the cross. That from the beginning, the ending was being foretold. And the one who came to bring the light would also be the one who would become the perfect sacrifice and pay the price for you and me. By next Sunday, this sanctuary is going to look completely different. The trees will be gone. The garland will disappear. The flowers will no longer be on the front. Joseph and Mary will disappear from the communion table. Everything will be gone. And yet we carry Christmas in our hearts. As long as you honor Him as King and worship Him as Lord and trust Him as Savior. So I guess that's my question for you this morning. Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? Has there been that moment in your life when you recognize that that story is your story? That Jesus was born to save. He was born to save you. And have you made the personal decision, I will trust Him and I will follow Him? If not, we want you to have that opportunity this morning. In just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. And if today you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I'm just going to encourage you to slip your hand up and say, today I want to know Jesus. And when this service is done, I'll be looking for you. And I want to talk to you and visit with you. Talk to you about how you can become a Christian. Maybe today's the day you want to become part of what He's doing at First Baptist Church. Maybe today there's another decision. If there's something you need to do, as we stand and as we sing, you slip up your hand, and I look forward to talking to you. Let's stand together. Let's sing. House. By the next time we gather in this place, 2020 will be in the rearview mirror, and none of us are going to miss it. And we'll be moving into a fresh new year, 2021. A couple of things to share. Number one is to remember, if you haven't signed up yet to be one of our Bible readers, I am excited about this project. We'll be beginning next Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and together we will be reading aloud all the way through the Bible in the first 2 weeks of 2021. I can't think of a more exciting thing to do. And if you haven't signed up yet, there's still a few slots left. Most of our slots are filled up quickly. But if you'd like to read, you stop by the big sign back there, Faith Comes by Hearing, and make sure that you have a chance to be part of this very special project. And then I look forward to a theme next year that's going to be good for all of us. It's going to be the principles and promises of God. We're going to look at all of the ways that God is promising His people that He's going to take care of them and be there for them and take care of us as well. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a good year next year, and I'm so excited that we'll get to share it together as First Baptist Church, Birmingham. Well, let's bow together now for a closing prayer. And then our final song as we dismiss. Lord, we do pray, thanking you that you are the one who is absolutely worthy. The Father, you are worthy of being honored as King. And you are worthy of being worshiped as Lord. And you are worthy of being trusted as Savior. As we move into a new year, help us to know that we move under the leadership, the lordship, and the love of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.